The opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Mike Radio Broadcast. God bless you. I will be your host today, Minister Curry. Today, we're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to look into the Old Testament of the Word of God. I believe that the Old Testament is God concealed and the New Testament is God revealed. So we want to take a look at the Old Testament. We want to dig down deep. And today, if I were to put a topic to what we're going to be talking about, it's going to be from being delivered to being set free. From being delivered, from being set free. And I really believe that what the Word of God tells us and the process we need to take is the proper process. There's no shortcuts. There's no workaround. And there is no shortcut keys that you can use. The process that God gives us to fully be delivered and to be fully set free is according to his word. And we're going to jump right into it. I want to turn with you today, and if you can turn with me, if you have your Bibles, if you've got your smartphones, you got your iPhones, come on and just turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. And we're just going to look at the word of God. We're going to kind of dissect it and see some of the things that the people of Israel were challenged with, delaying their deliverance process and also trying to be set free. And I really believe that sometimes we get stuck in being delivered, but we're really not being set free. Sometimes we can rejoice, we can shout, we can dance for being delivered, but we never experience the true experience of being set free. And I really believe that he that begun a good work in us shall perform it unto the day that Christ Jesus comes. So I really believe that whatever process that God has started in our lives, he wants to complete it. So there's things that God will need to do in us, but we have to have yielding and willing hearts for God to really come in and do the process of circumcision in our hearts. There's some things that we need to peel back, and there's some layers that need to be removed from our hearts where God can really begin to work in our hearts, where we can walk into the liberty and the freedom that God has called us to live here in the earth. So if you have your Bibles with me, Exodus chapter 16, we're going to start off with the very first verse, because there's so much meat and so much manna, which we will get into in the text, that God has for us to really begin to walk in not only being delivered, but also being set free. It says, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. And if you look closely at the text, God doesn't really start the time clock until they're actually delivered out of Egypt. He doesn't recall or recollect the time that they were even in Egypt. He doesn't put a time stamp on that. And see, when God brings us out, it's more concerned about not the time that we were absent from him, but more concerned about the time that we are with him. And sometimes we can be so consumed and worried about the time that we weren't with God instead of being consumed with the time that we are with God. And God doesn't want us to look back. The scripture reminds us that he that putteth his hand to the plow and turneth back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. And I really believe here that God starts a new timetable for us when we come into the place of deliverance, when we're no longer in that place of captivity, no longer in that place of bondage, but God starts a new time clock for you and I. The scripture tells us that he will restore the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the locust has taken away from us. So God is saying, I'm going to behold, do a new thing. So God is starting a new timetable in our lives so that we don't have to reflect and look back and see all the times that we've missed and the decisions and the choices that we have made that may have robbed us from time. See, God is not the time robber. He's the time giver. And God wants us to get into his timetable because he's more concerned with you in his presence than absent from his presence. So God is calling these people out of Egypt. He's brought them through the Red Sea. He's done the miracles. He's done the signs. He released his plagues over Egypt. He's doing a new thing. He's bringing them out. He's starting a new timetable for his people. And they are through the wilderness on their way to Sinai. They entered into the desert of sin. And see, sometimes God will deal with us personally with our sin. See, God will bring us out of what we may have been going through because sometimes it's the sin that brought us to that place. It's our disobedience that brought us to that place. It's our wrong choices that brought us to the place. So even though God will deliver us geographically out of that situation, whether it be a bad relationship, whether it be a bad working environment, whether it be financial crisis, God will deliver you geographically. He'll take you from one place to another. But then God says, I need to deal with the sin. I need to deal with the things that got you here. I need to deal with the things that you looked over and you felt that was not of importance. God wants to deal with that today because he says true deliverance deals with the sin that is within. So God wants to bring you out, but once he brings you out, he wants to set you free. And this is what happens when God begins to set you free. It says in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and against Aaron. They grumbled in the process. How many of us have grumbled in the process that God has taken us through? We may not like what God is doing. Sometimes we may not like what God is showing because sometimes we felt like we've been through enough. So why do I have to deal with these internal issues? Because God has to begin to purge you. See, God has to fragment you. He has to put a defrag. He has to begin to put things back in order in your life. He has to take you through a detox. Because sometimes we have some bad addictions in our life that brought us into the place of captivity and bondage. God wants us to come out of that mindset. So God says, I'm going to bring you out, but I need to address some things within. And the people begin to grumble. We begin to grumble at the things of God. We begin to grumble when they call us for 5 o'clock prayer. We begin to grumble when they call us to show up on Wednesday night Bible studies. See, we begin to grumble when we got to show up and serve where others may not be. See, we begin to grumble. See, we can't have that Martha spirit. We can't have that. We got to learn how to serve the Lord. We got to be in a place where God wants us to be. See, we got to understand that God wants to do something in us in order for God to do something through us. But we have to go through the process that God desires for us to go through. Don't grumble against the process. Sometimes grumbling will create a stumbling. Let me say that again. Sometimes the grumbling will create a stumbling. Sometimes we got to change our language when God is bringing us through the process of the desert of sin. Sometimes we don't like the desert of sin because sometimes it's not as comfortable as we like it to be. Sometimes all the necessities are not there that we used to, but God wants to do a new thing. He wants us to get off of the Pharaoh's system and totally rely on the true and the living God. But here we see a people who begin to grumble against Moses and Aaron. God set leadership for the people whom he chose to bring them out first out of Egypt and through the Jordan, the Red Sea. Now he's about to use these same two individuals to bring them through the wilderness. But they are grumbling. They are ungrateful. See, they only see what they don't have, but they don't see what they're about to obtain. See, God is so focused about what you're about to obtain, but we're so focused on what we don't have. Come on, somebody. See, we need to know that God is more concerned about what he's about to bring into our lives, not what we have right now, because the things that we see are temporal, but the things that we do not see are eternal. But these people are grumbling against God. Then the Israelites, in verse 3, it says, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. They wanted to be the victim. See, sometimes in our lives, we've been the victim so long, we continue to play that role. We adopt that role as a victim. Look, I'd rather been a victim of the plagues to begin to experience the things that I'm going through that are not comfortable in the flesh. See, God is trying to deal with us in a way that we are no longer comfortable in the Pharaoh system, but God wants to bring us out of the Pharaoh system. God wants us to have a kingdom system that we can totally rely on in spite of where we are. See, the kingdom works regardless of wherever you are. Even when we were in Egypt, the kingdom still worked because God showed forth his miracles in Egypt. See, the kingdom system works in spite of your situation. See, because God creates his own situation to interrupt your situation. See, that's why we pray, thy will be done and thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. See, God has his own kingdom system that he's trying to implement in the earth so you can begin to follow his regulations, his policies and statutes, so you can be a beneficiary of the blessing. See, the whole purpose is that God wants to see his people blessed because of a covenant that he established with Abraham, but they needed to go through the process. There were some weanings and things that God needed to do for the people of God so they can experience the abundance of God without relying on the system of Pharaoh. These people wanted to bring upon a curse upon themselves and said, look, we would rather have died in Egypt. But God says, I have something greater for your life. See, he's not going to allow your situation to swallow you up. He will swallow up your situation in order for you to get where God has for you to go. See, God is not predetermined by what your situation says. God is predetermined by what he's already spoken concerning your life. He said, there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. That's not God's plan for your life. Don't allow comfortability to be an excuse for your abuse. Come on, somebody. Don't allow your comfortability to be an excuse for your abuse. See, because when we were in Egypt, regardless of the things that the Pharaoh may have given them, they were under harsh abuse. They were under hardship with hard work. See, they were taken advantage of. They were stripped of who they were and who God has called them to be. They were under such great depression and suppression, but because of the things that the Pharaoh allowed them to have. See, they tried to use that little comfortability to be an excuse for the abuse. See, sometimes we as people, we can forget about all the pain and all the heartache and all the brokenness and all the disappointment and only find those times when things felt good, when they felt okay, when things were better than it was yesterday. But that's not God's plan for your life. God says, do not allow comfortability to be an excuse for your abuse. The devil is a liar. God don't want you to be under the Pharaoh's hand. He doesn't want you to be under the environment of those who are taskmasters. right. God has something greater for your life. He says, don't look back at those things. Come on. Those things will fade away. Come on. Pharaoh's kingdom will fade away. But he says his word will abide forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. God is looking for us to take him at his word. He says, my word, what my word established, shall it not make it good? Come on, somebody. Look at the Pharaoh gave you harsh punishment. Come on. Sometimes we are still under a Pharaoh system because sometimes we have a codependency of the Pharaoh's delicacy. Come on. We can't be so pulled in because of something that felt good and tasted good and maybe looked it good, but then the outcome of it all, after all that is said and done, come on, there was pain, there was brokenness, there was disappointment, come on, there was hardship. Come on, the scripture says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Come on, sin has an expiration date. Come on, it's trying to expire you out before your time, and God wants greater for your life. God has set his own timetable for your life. God doesn't want you to experience a premature death because of the decisions that we make, because we're being codependent on the Pharaoh system instead of relying on God's system. God has something greater in store for you and I. He wants us to rely on his system, his economy. Come on, God has his own greenhouse. Come on, somebody. Look, there's things that God can produce that man can never understand. But when we line up with the will of God, when we begin to go through the process from being delivered to being set free, come on, we can experience the liberty that only Christ can give because our trust is in the Lord. But here, come on, they're grumbling. Come on, they're mad. They're starving. Come on, the entire assembly, come on, was on board. Come on, there was a something that was growing, come on, in the people that God was about to deliver them from and set them free from. But God needed to expose it through some uncomfortability in our lives. See, don't you know, sometimes, see, the flesh will begin to bark back at you. See, when you become involved in uncomfortable situations when it pertains to being purged and being set free in Christ Jesus. See, the flesh will give you this false idea. Come on, he'll give you a false methodology. He'll give you a false theological thinking that, look, I need this. Come on, I need to have this. I'm starving. If I don't get this, I'll never be there. I'll never have what I need. If I don't have this, come on, look, God is pulling us and weaning us away off of Pharaoh's system. I really believe because of the pandemic that we are in right now, a plague that hit the old earth. Come on, it removes us from a place of being codependent on other people. God had to separate us from people that we would reach on to, that we would ride on to, that if we didn't have it, we'd starve to death. Come on, if we didn't get this, come on, we'd suffer. Come on, that's not God's will. God's will wants us to have fully dependency on him. Look, he says, beside him there is none else. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. God wants it all. He wants all of you, and we should have a desire to want all of him. Whatever craving that you may be having, God can fill it. Come on, there's no empty space in our life that God cannot fill. Come on, God has wells that man has not digged. Come on, God can create streams in the desert. Come on, God can put you into places where money cannot take you. But God wants our total dependency on him. He's bringing us through the process. Even though we're geographically moved out of a neighborhood, out of a relationship. Come on. But sometimes there's some stuff within us that God needs to peel away at. Come on. God needs to pick at. Come on. God wants to expose the infection that's underneath the surface of it. God wants to put the balm of Gilead upon that thing in Jesus' name. But here we have a people who expressing themselves. Come on, saying that we're all starving. We're in a desert where there's nothing of comfortability. But the Lord, come on, said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are going to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. See, God is always giving us instructions. He will never lead us into a place without proper instructions. Our responsibility is to respond in obedience. God requires obedience more than sacrifice. And God is looking for a people that is willing to go through the process from being delivered to being set free to walk in obedience in the process. Regardless of where we are in the process, he says Christ is the lily in the valley. So even in our situations that are uncomfortable, God is the beautiful thing that we can look upon, even though everything else around us looks ugly. Come on, somebody. Come on. He's the lily in the valley. And God is showing himself in spite of the murmur, in spite of what the people were saying. See, isn't God awesome? See, God is passionate. See, he says, but the Lord, he is passionate. He's a gracious God. He's slow to anger. Come on. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. See, thank God, God doesn't honor our silly requests at times. Come on, somebody. Because sometimes in the flesh, we can say things, come on, that will do more harm to us than good. Sometimes we can say things, come on, that will take us and put us on the wrong track. And we can miss our destination. See, sometimes our words, come on, can produce, come on, thorns and thistles, where God is trying to produce wheat and fruit in our lives. See, but God, who is gracious, come on, and slow to anger, come on, he disregards their grumbling. Come on, he disregards their wishes, saying, oh, we wish we could have died, come on, by the Lord's hand in Egypt. God disregarded all of that. See, sometimes God is more concerned about what God has for you than what you're going through, what you think you don't have, but you haven't arrived into the place in order for God to give it to you. See, God is not moved by your woes. You know, sometimes we're like children kicking and screaming because we don't get what we want. It's like when you take your child to a store. Come on, and as an adult, we know exactly what we need to provide for the family for the whole week. So what we do, we provide and we get those essentials. Come on, it's not just for the child, but it's for the whole family. Come on, so what we're doing, we're going to the store and we're buying this and we're buying that. And then the child goes and says, look, I want this and I want that. And I want, but it's not for the whole. It's only for you. But the parent looks at the full picture. See, we have to understand God looks at the full picture. Look, he just doesn't want to make you happy. He wants to make the whole family happy. He doesn't just want to be a provider for you. He wants to be a provider for your whole family. Come on. When he made a promise to Abraham, look, he said, I'm not just going to save you, but I'm going to save you and your children and your children's children, and they shall be blessed. See, God is in the business of family. See, come on. See, sometimes we can be so selfish about what we want and when we want it, and if God would have gave it to us then, when we asked for it, we wouldn't be here today. Come on. God has something greater for us. He still has us in mind even when we're blind. Come on, let me say that again. He still has us in mind even when we're still blind. So when this happened, God says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. Come on. He says, I'm going to do this for for you. I'm going to do this for you, Moses. I'm going to do this for you, because they're bickering at you. Come on, come on. They're saying that you're not the person that I've called to lead my people out of Israel. I'm going to do this. I'm going to prove this. I'm going to prove this, that they know that I sent you to them. I'm going to do this for you, Moses, not for them. They're grumbling people. I'm going to do this for you. So there are certain people in your life that you've been grumbling and stuff, but God has chosen a selected, and God said, I'm going to do this for you. Look, I know your son is out there doing drugs, but I'm going to do this for you. I'm talking to somebody now. God said, because he was out there doing this and she was out there doing this, but I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do something. I'm going to rain down from heaven. I'm going to bring something and make provision where there was lack in your life. I'm going to do this for you. Come on, there was things that your children went through, you went through, your mama, your great-grandmama went through, but now that God has chosen you, and said, I'm about to do something just because of you. Come on, you're special in God's eyes. You're apple of his eyes. God says, I'm about to do this for you. Come on. He's raising up people in their household. He says, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to deliver your house because of you. I'm going to make prosperity come to your house because of you. Come on. Your aunts and nephews and nieces and uncles are blessed because of you, because God saw you and he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make it rain down from heaven. There will be no room for you to receive it. God has an abundance for his people, and God is about to do something for you. He's about to do something for you. But whoever's connected to, God is going to do it to them as well. He's going to do it for you. He's going to do it for you. Then the people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. Hallelujah. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instruction. God wants you to follow the instruction because of the people that are connected to you. Regardless of where they are and what they're going through, God wants you to follow the instruction. God wants you to stay on the path because God wants to do something for you. Come on, because what he does for you is going to connect to your generation, and the generation that comes after you is going to bless your children and your children's children. This is what God says, I'm going to do for you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you've been waiting and believing God for something, and God says, today I'm going to do it for you. Come on, I don't know who you've been praying for, who you've been staying late up at night for, but God says, I'm going to do this for you. And I know that time is running out and we're about to take a short commercial break, but we're going to get back into this because God is looking for his people to follow instructions. God is laying out the footprint on how we can be blessed and see others blessed based on our obedience to him. God wants to bless our communities. God wants to bless our city. God wants to bless our state. But God says, I need you to follow my instructions. Don't do it with grumbling. Don't do it with complaining. But I need you to obey the word of the Lord. God says, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that what I've sent it to do. There's a word that's being sent today for somebody that God is going to do it for you. I don't know who it is. You need to get excited because God is about to drop some instructions. And God says, if you do this, I'm about to do this for you. If you do this, I'm about to do that for you. Come on. People in your life are about to be blessed, and they don't even know why. Why? Because you followed the instruction of the Lord. You obeyed the Lord by God, and God, in response, rain down bread from heaven. Come on, bread is just not a tangible thing. Bread is something that fulfills. Come on, bread is something, come on, that completes. Bread is something that quenches. Come on, bread is something that causes one to survive and thrive throughout the midst of adversity. God is about to rain it down in your life just for you. Tell me the truth. There's people that's connected to you that is about to be blessed because of you, because you followed the instruction of the Lord. Let's see where this thing goes after we come back from this break. We're about to take a small break, and then we're about to come back, and we're about to see how the people respond to the instruction of the Lord and what we can learn how to move forward and not make the same mistakes as our brothers did in the Old Testament that we can do in our lives today. We want to see the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow upon our lives today. We don't want to move backward. We want to move forward. in the name of Jesus. Come on and just stay with me for a little bit while longer. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to just come back and get back into this word. I'm excited, and I pray that you're excited as well.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night, feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. Founded in 2014 by retired NYPD police officer Michael Burke, Brothers Before Others is a national 501c3 law enforcement charity comprised solely of both sworn and retired police officers. Since their inception, Brothers Before Others has sent floral arrangements to the services of all line of duty deaths, regardless of where in the country they occur. Having spent over $350,000 to date, while the National Flower Fund remains their cornerstone, their benevolence has since grown well beyond that, even into the civilian world. For more information on how to get involved or to donate, visit brothersbeforeothers.org, or you can visit their public forums on all social media platforms by searching Brothers Before Others. Line of Duty Cigars, owned and operated by retired NYPD detective Tom Werther. Visit lineofdutycigars.com for our handmade Nicaraguan cigars, custom ashtrays, custom humidors, and custom flask sets. Also, when you place an order, you choose a law enforcement, first responder, or veteran charity, and Line of Duty Cigars donates 10% to that organization. Planning a special event? Contact us today. Visit www.lineofdutycigars.com. And now back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
Praise God. I'm glad that we're back. I just pray that you enjoyed the first session. What we're looking at the process from being delivered to being set free. You know, if you just joined with us, we're just looking at the life of the Israelites and some of the challenges that they faced coming out of Egypt and some of their own personal dealings individually that they struggled with being obedient to the Lord and not allowing their comfortabilities to be an excuse for the abuse. And I just love what God is doing right now, because right now he's wanting to test his people. He said, let's see if they're going to follow these instructions. We're going to start back at verse 5. It says, on the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. And sometimes we think that this instruction is really simple. Just go out, get what you need, come back the following day, get what you need, come back again the next day, get what you need, but on the sixth day, gather twice as much so you'll have some for the following day. Simple, ain't it? But see, we have to understand the mindset of the people of Israel. They come from a place of being hard worked and hard pressed. All they knew was work. When they get up, they worked. They barely slept. They were drained. They were exhausted. So they felt productivity equals hard work. But God is teaching them a kingdom system where that you can work, but there's rest that you can have to have more of abundance, how to restore, how to rejuvenate, how to revive, how to replenish. And he's trying to bring them into that place of rest. Kingdom operates through rest. God rested, and God is trying to teach his people how to rest, to operate in the things of the kingdom. Because the scripture tells us, Jesus even told the disciples, says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened down, and I will give you rest. He's trying to teach his people how to rest. He's trying to teach his people how to slow down. And see, sometimes in life, we're just too fast. You know, we want to be the first here, the first to do that, the first to have this. Come on, we try to be the first in everything until we broke. But see, God is trying to teach us a method of slowing down. There's a slow down process. See, God is trying to develop us in a way where we can grow and where we can bear fruit and fruit that remains. Nothing tastes as good as when something is baked and done right versus having something pop in the microwave. See, we have to learn how to slow things down, and God is trying to slow down the mind of the people. He doesn't want them to take up the same habits that they were in Egypt and duplicate them when God brings them into the promised land. Because not only God is trying to give them rest, but also God is trying to give rest to the land. Give rest to the land. God wants him to see a kingdom system that works, contrary to what the world says. He's trying to give us a different perspective and a different outlook. He's trying to open up our eyes to his understanding of things, not to what we perceive, not to what we think, because there is a way that seemeth right to man, but its end is destruction. And God doesn't want us to live destructive lives. He wants us to live a life of instruction and not destruction. Let me say that again. God wants to live a life of instruction and not destruction. Because without instruction, there only comes destruction. And God is putting those things in place that we can move from being delivered to being set free. And God tests the people. God will test you, because he wants to show you what's inside of you. He wants to show you what you've been carrying that you haven't seen, or you think hasn't impacted you or kind of molded you into the person you are. See, God is trying to remake you. God is trying to reestablish you and repair you. He's putting you back on the spinning wheel. Come on, there's some things that God sees that he needs to kind of mold off of you. Come on, there's a molding process. And anytime you try to mold something, pressure is applied. Come on, and nobody likes to feel pressure. Come on, but sometimes the pressure of the Lord is good. Come on, when God applies pressure, there's a diamond in the rough that's coming out. But God is testing his people through instructions. He's giving them an instruction to do double up. And then it says here in verse 6, and Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it's the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also asked, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Man, wow. Moses just bypassed it, him and Aaron. He says, no, the grumbling don't come to us because we didn't bring you out. God did. They were just vessels. Come on, God just used them as vehicles to bring about his glory, his power, his dominion and majesty in the earth. See, sometimes we're looking at the wrong people. We need to be looking to God. We need to be inquiring of the Lord. God does not want us to be codependent on people. See, he wants us to be dependent on him. See, God is our source, and he is the source of all things. The scripture tells us that God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. See, God is looking for us to look unto him, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Moses says, don't look to me and Aaron. We're just vehicles. We're just like you. We die just like you. We bleed just like you. But see, God has heard your concern. He's heard your grumbling. And this is what God is going to do for you, that you may know that he is God, and beside him, there is none else. See, God will remove some people out of the way, so he's revealed. See, sometimes God wants to get things that are a stumbling block in your life so God can be revealed. See, the prophet says, when King Uzziah died, come on, he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Glory to his name. See, God had to remove some people. And Moses says, look, I'm not in the way in what God is trying to do. I'm in the plan in what God is trying to do. We need to get in the plan of what God is trying to do and not be in the way of what God is trying to do. God says, blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, come on, say delight with me, his delight was in the law of the Lord. See, Moses and Aaron, they delighted in God. They obeyed him. See, your obedience is equivalent to you delighting yourself in God. So when you lack instruction and following the instruction, you show that you don't delight yourself in God. And God wants us to delight in him. God wants us to celebrate him. God wants us to look to him. And Aaron is saying the true key is that you look to God. God is the source. God is the answer. And the same God that you grumbled against is the same God that will provide for you in spite of your grumbling. This is what God is doing for his people. God is saying, I'm going to show you that I'm not like Pharaoh. Come on. God is not like man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he needs to repent. God is changing things up, because if they would have tried this with Pharaoh, come on, execution time, hardship time. Come on, remove the straw. Let them get their own straw and build their own brick. Come on, he would have laid heavy upon them. But God, who is rich in mercy, showed forth great grace in spite of their grumbling and provided for them 6 days a week. 6 days a week, and on the seventh, come on, God was going to make provision because of the overflow. God is looking so he can bless you with the overflow. See, people got to understand, see, the manna in the gathering on the sixth day was just a prototype of the overflow that God wants to do in your life when we obey his instructions. God is overflow. Come on, this is good. I will cause your cup to run it over. Come on, he's the Lord of the overflow. He says, look, I will do it. abundantly above all that you can think, dream, or can imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. Come on, our obedience to God, following the instructions of God, releases overflow in your life. God is giving us the prototype. Even when you thought that you wouldn't have enough for the next, God says, I will create an overflow spring in your life, that what you thought you couldn't have the following day, God says, I'll make sure you have it in more abundance the following day. See, God does not slack concerning his promises. He is yea and amen. God wants you to get ready to move into the overflow, but God says you need to follow his instructions. God wants you to be able to experience the amount of wealth that he has in the kingdom for your life, not just silver and gold, but God wants you to experience his wisdom. Come on, he wants you to experience his nature and all that he is. Come on, he wants you to experience all forms of his grace in your life. Come on, God has something more abundant than what Pharaoh and his system can ever get you. God is trying to break generational curses of family members who relied on the system of Pharaoh and taught you how to do the same thing. Come on, you can't make it if Pharaoh don't send you a check. You can't make it if Pharaoh don't send you what you need for that month. See, you can't make it if Pharaoh doesn't say you can have this or you can have that. Look, God wants to separate you from that temporary kingdom because he has a kingdom that is eternal that shall always provide all for your need according to the riches and glory that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to get ready for this overflow through follow the instructions by the obedience of your heart containing God's word. We learn something from grumbling. We don't want to get to that point where the people of Israel, they grumbled, they murmured. Come on. They even, at one point, they wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. Come on. We don't want to be that people. Come on. We want to honor the people that God places in our life to keep the instruction, the word of the Lord, his statutes and his commandments. Come on. God is trying to put us on the track to success, the track to prosperity. Come on, the track to abundance. Come on, he wants you to experience the overflow, but it's in his rest, his word, having confidence that he that begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to quit on you in the middle. Come on, you're right there, and God is trying to bring you over. Come on, with the overflow. God says, just keep to my instructions. Obey my word. Stop grumbling. Come on, God says, I'm about to do this just for you. God says, look, I have no reservation. Come on, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans of a hope and of a future. Come on, the devil is trying to steal your joy. Come on, he's coming only but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, that's why the timetable started when they got connected to God, when they went into the wilderness to worship God. See, that was the first calling of God on the people of Israel. He says, let my people go and come into the wilderness that they may worship me. See, God is looking for us to honor him and to worship him. This is the time right now that we get into the place of true worship because we want to experience the abundance of God. We want to have the Lord remove the grumblings of our heart, the murmuring of our heart. Come on, the comfortability of our flesh. Come on, that stuff got to die. Jesus said, if anyone desires to follow me, he must first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow him. See, there was the instruction. Come on, there was an instruction of the Lord, and God wants to bring you into a place of overflow where you think that you got to work yourself to death to get what you want in life. No, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The more you get of Jesus, the more you get of life. Come on, the world will suck it out of you, but God will deposit it in you. Oh, I feel God right now, because if you're listening today, God wants to do something in your life, and he wants it to trickle down to your family members. He wants to bless you. He wants to show forth his glory. He wants to show forth his power and his might in your life. Get ready for the overflow, but there is an instruction situation, because God is trying to get you from being delivered to being set free. God bless you. I pray you enjoy the time on the air to sharing the word of God. God is getting ready for the overflow to erupt in your life. God bless you.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night, feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. Founded in 2014 by retired NYPD police officer Michael Burke, Brothers Before Others is a national 501c3 law enforcement charity comprised solely of both sworn and retired police officers. Since their inception, Brothers Before Others has sent floral arrangements to the services of all line of duty deaths, regardless of where in the country they occur. Having spent over $350,000 to date, while the National Flower Fund remains their cornerstone, their benevolence has since grown well beyond that, even into the civilian world. For more information on how to get involved or to donate, visit brothersbeforeothers.org, or you can visit their public forums on all social media platforms by searching Brothers Before Others. Line of Duty Cigars, owned and operated by retired NYPD detective Tom Werther. Visit lineofdutycigars.com for our handmade Nicaraguan cigars, custom ashtrays, custom humidors, and custom flask sets. Also, when you place an order, you choose a law enforcement, first responder, or veteran charity, and Line of Duty Cigars donates 10% to that organization. Planning a special event? Contact us today. Visit www.lineofdutycigars.com.